Good morning to you all. We welcome you to Grace Bible Church today. We're glad that you are here. In our calls to worship, last week we began a new passage that we're going to be looking at throughout the month from Matthew chapter 28, very familiar passage of Scripture. And we're looking to what the Lord said to His disciples, beginning at verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then He goes and says, Go ye therefore." We looked at that last week. All power has been given unto the Son. And so we have everything we need to do what follows in that next verse. We are to go and we are to teach all nations. Now it's interesting, the word teach that's used in verse 19 is not the same one that's used in verse 20 where it says teaching them to observe all things. The one used in verse 20 is the word didasko, which is where we get our word didactic or, related to teaching. All right? The word that's used in verse 19 means to disciple, make disciples. God has told us to go and do what? Make disciples. By the way, the only time that word is used in the New Testament. Make disciples. Now, what is a disciple? A disciple is simply someone who follows. Someone who follows. If you're a believer in Christ this morning, who are you following? You should be following the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what a disciple does. They follow. And God has commanded us to go with a purpose. Isn't it wonderful to have a purpose? Isn't it wonderful to know what you're going to do when you get there? What are we going to do? We're going to make disciples in a Christian school. Our duty as teachers and administration is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible times and chapel times are so important. The teaching throughout the day where the Bible is integrated into every subject. It's to make disciples. What is the purpose of you living in the community? It's to make disciples of Jesus Christ. If we're not doing, then it's very unlikely that we've gone. We haven't gone yet. When you go, you have a purpose. I think about all those missionaries today, speaking back and forth this week with Brother Leon in Myanmar and also in other missionaries around the world, and the duties of being a missionary have just increased greatly because of what Russia is doing in the Ukraine. It's changed everything. It's changed the way they do ministry. The Ukrainian pastors there, they are under intense pressure right now, trying to find food, trying to find gas, just the basics of life, just trying to get by, and then make disciples of Jesus Christ. I was telling Brother Tom, I said, we've had more young people in the last 2 weeks come to us concerned about their soul. They're scared. For the first time in history, we're able to see war up close, not from the other side of the world getting a newsreel photograph or a video from a reporter there, but there are people with phones videotaping every aspect of war, and it's scaring people. They're getting concerned about their soul. What is our job? We're to go and we're to make disciples of Jesus Christ. May you and I take up our responsibility as believers in Christ to make disciples. That means your children and your grandchildren and your neighbors and your friends and those that you're on social media with all day long, talking with them about everything under the sun. Are you talking about the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you making disciples? That is our ministry. Go and make disciples. May God help us in that regard. We're not done with this passage. We have several more things to point out. But we've got to go. And you got to go with a purpose. Amen? And our purpose is to make disciples.
Take your hymnbooks this morning and turn to 344. 344, Grace, 'tis a charming sound. We'll stand together to sing 344.
Save my friend.
standing for prayer as Brother Lynn comes to lead us this morning.
Father, we come to you this morning and thank you that we can sing praises to your name because of the salvation we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, we're living in a world that's, we use terms like uncertain. Well, Father, you have a certain outcome for the world. And Christ is our only hope. And Father, we are a people that have a message of hope. Help us to understand that this time it may be a great opportunity to bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, or at least to lead them to the truth. And Lord, we've brought our prayers before you this morning and our requests. And Lord, you know what's on our mind. You know our hearts. You still tell us to come before you. And Father, a lot of times we fail to confess our sins before you when we come to you with our requests. Lord, I want to do that now, that if there's anything that's unsaid or unconfessed, because you said you are faithful and just to cleanse us from all the unrighteousness. We thank you, Father, because you're so gracious, you're so merciful, you're kind, but you are a just God. And we're living in an unjust world that crucified our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, goes on daily in our teachings, in our schools, in our politics, and in so many ways, the suppression of truth and the influences of the world that will help to direct our children in wrong directions. Thank you for the messages that we've heard so far this morning. How true it is, Lord, that parents fail to pass the truth along, and our convictions are often weak, and our children see these weaknesses. So, Father, I would pray that we would be honest and open with you, that you would give us the wisdom we need when we're dealing with skeptics in the world. And, Father, that as we said before, there are many and more unbelievers than there are believers in this world today. So the opportunities are abundant. I pray our ears, our eyes, and our minds would be open to your word this morning as the messages brought by Tom Gibbons. We thank you that he's here with us today. We thank you for Grace Bible Church. We thank you for the school. I thank you for the faithfulness of our pastor and our leaders here. Father, the church is weak today. We're looking for our Savior. Father, help us to be looking for our blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And may our lives and what we say to people and how we conduct ourselves in our home reflect these truths. I thank you again for this morning, Father. Thank you that you allow us the ministry of intercession, and that you have made us a kingdom of priests to be able to do that and to honor and glorify your name this morning. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Be seated and turn over now to number 165. 165, When We See Christ, we'll sing verses 1 and 3, number 165.
Thank you.
out of number 65. Number 65 in your hymn books, Servants of God, Your Master, Proclaim 65. We'll sing just on the first and the fourth, number 65.
Thank you, Alicia, for that special in song. It's our privilege today to have Tom Gibbons and his wife Debbie with us. They are with the Gospel to South America, and they're going to be over speaking at Pensacola Christian College. And we look forward to the Word of God delivered to us today. I've been very impressed in past services that Brother Tom has spoken, his knowledge of missions, but also his knowledge and his ability to deliver God's Word to our hearts. And so we look forward to the message today. Brother?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. I'd like to invite you this morning to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I have been asked to give a bit of an update on the ministry in South America. Debbie and I had the privilege of spending 28 years together serving the Lord in South America and came home just about 4 years ago to serve as general director of the mission based out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I can say that the best years of our life we lived in South America with our children, serving the Lord, seeing Christ build His church. I don't have to tell you that these last 2 years have been a tremendous challenge. They've been a challenge for you. They've been a challenge for ministries all over the world. As a matter of fact, a year ago in January, we canceled our annual conference that we ordinarily hold every year somewhere in South America, usually in Chile or in Argentina, sometimes in Uruguay. We canceled it for obvious reasons. Later that year, we met as a general council in Fort Lauderdale, and we agreed that it would not do for us to skip another year of conference because we sensed that our missionaries were growing weary. And I'll share a little bit about that as we unfold the message this morning. And so we made a decision that that I feared would not be popular. I was not correct, but I feared it would not be popular. We asked our missionary body to come home to the United States, and we held our missionary conference January 3rd through 9th in Sebring, Florida at Camp Sparta. Our entire missionary family, with a couple of exceptions, came to Florida, and we had our conference there. A tremendous week of encouragement and blessing. And, you know, some of our folks had not been in a church meeting for as long as 16 months, an in-person church meeting. And so it was a tremendous time of fellowship, a tremendous time of encouragement, wonderful teaching from God's Word, times of laughter, and I believe our team was really pumped up to return to South America where they served the Lord. So as I unfold a little bit what I'm going to share with you this morning out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to give you some idea of what our people have faced on the mission field, at least in South America. And I think that at the conclusion of our message this morning, I think we'll be better prepared to pray for missionaries all over the world. And I think also that we'll be encouraged ourselves in our own ministry. And we'll be encouraged to know that Christ continues to build His church in the midst of COVID, in the midst of what's going on in Ukraine. Beloved, believe me that Christ is building His church. He's not taking a break. And so turn your thoughts with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'd like to read verses 1 and forward. We're going to focus on verses 8 and 9, but I want us to have a little bit of context that we'll be referencing in the message. And so the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning we come to the one who is our guide, and we ask you to guide us in the delivery and reception of the Word of God today. Father, we come as a church, and we certainly come in need of encouragement. We come in need, dear Lord, of edification. We come in need of instruction, and we invite the Holy Spirit to fulfill His ministry of leading us into all truth during these moments that are to follow. Father, be honored with our heart's response to your word. And dear Lord, please be glorified through the delivery of your word today. And we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Through 2 years of COVID, the GMSA team has weathered many, many changes in their lives and ministry. And I know that that is true of many in our own country. I think you would agree that here in the state of Florida, we certainly had freedoms and liberties that did not exist in other parts of our own country. And I look back over my communication with our missionary family, and I'm aware of the fact that in many cases they've had plans that have changed, and sometimes the plans have changed repeatedly. Over the last 2 years, and continuing to present, by the way, ministries have been canceled. Our camps in Chile were just canceled. Our camps in Argentina were just authorized. In northern Chile, our church there, our missionaries, we have a team, two couples that are ministering there in church planting, and they were just told that all social gatherings, those that gather, must present a sanitary pass that verifies that they have been vaccinated. And so they're choosing to go down to the ocean and meet on the beach so they don't have to fulfill that requirement. These are the realities that people are still facing on the mission field. Travel has been canceled time and again. People have attempted to travel, and sometimes it's taken them as long as 3 weeks to get out of the country to come to the States for a furlough or for other ministry. Everyday ministry routines have been turned upside down. You know, there are things that we take for granted, like what we're doing this morning, meeting together physically, things like greeting one another in church, things like visitation. All of these have been banished at one time or another in our ministries in South America. They've not been permitted. And sometimes where they've been permitted, people, because of all of the media reporting, have been frightened to have pastors and other folks from church even come into their homes. Masks have erased people's faces from public view. A terrible thing. Not to see the smiling face of an individual. There were long weeks in lockdowns with limited freedom to move about. Ministries were carried out by means of technology, and for many that certainly has not been ideal. Some were as long, as I mentioned before, as 16 months unable to attend an in-person church service. And our missionaries, they've had to navigate, and our national pastors, as a matter of fact, they've had to navigate the restrictions and the requirements that continue today to be ambiguous and volatile and inconsistent. Some have endured criticism, even anger from within the body of Christ for their handling of the pandemic within the church, and certainly that has gone on here in our own country. And there are those among our team who are seeking permanent residency in their country, in their host country, and with all the restrictions and all the mandates, that has been exacerbated. And this very thing has caused some of our missionaries not to be able to take a much-needed furlough, and because of it, some were not able to come to the conference that we mentioned simply because of the complications caused by COVID and their process of acquiring permanent residency. Now, you may think I'm painting a real negative picture, but I want to say this. We refuse to minimize the grace of God and the work of Christ and the abundant blessings that have been poured out over our ministries over the last 2 years because, beloved, Christ has not stopped building His church. Do you know that ministries have continued, perhaps different, perhaps not like we would have liked, but ministries have continued. Do you know that people have been saved? Do you know I have videos of people being baptized in the Pacific Ocean, of people being baptized in rivers, of people being baptized in lakes and in pools, little portable swimming pools in backyards. And that's happening because despite all that is going on, in the middle of the pandemic, Christ has been building His church. But we also recognize that it has not been easy. There has been weariness. There has been frustration, and there have been many disappointments. When Paul wrote 2 Corinthians, he was under constant attack of false apostles who sought to destroy his credibility before the people of Corinth. And what we faced and what is being faced in our world certainly is different perhaps from what the Apostle Paul faced. But can I say that the same God who carried the Apostle Paul through those difficult times is the God who is carrying us through the same? In chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6, he said this, "Our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able or sufficient ministers." Beloved, God doesn't put us in ministries that match our abilities. He makes us able for the ministries that He puts us in. He made us able for the ministry before the pandemic. He's doing it during the pandemic, and He'll do it regardless of what the future holds. In chapter 4 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, "Seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy." In other words, we didn't deserve it. He says, "We faint not. We don't lose heart. We don't give in to cowardice. We don't become desperate." And then in verses 6 and 7, he says, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts." Why? Why? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, the gospel. But he says, "We have this treasure, this gospel treasure, in earthen vessels, in delicate, fragile vessels." That's us. Why? "That the excellency of the power may clearly be of God and not of us. That it be clear that He is the one who makes us able." Hudson Taylor once said, "God uses men who are weak and feeble enough to lean on Him." Now let me say this. First of all, He makes us able ministers. Secondly, we have this Christ-centered gospel ministry not because we deserve it, but because of His mercy. And thirdly, we are His treasure bearers. And not only that, in chapter 5 and verse 20, he says that we are ambassadors for Christ. But beloved, this doesn't make ministry, or it doesn't mean that ministry is easy. As we read in chapter 4 and verse 1, we faint not. The fact of fainting would imply, or the possibility of fainting would imply difficulty. Again, in verse 7, we're told that we're earthen vessels. In verse 10, it says that we're always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. In verse 17, it says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." There's a light affliction. There is affliction. So ministry isn't easy. And the point is this. Ministry is difficult. Ministry is challenging. Ministry is hard. And if it wasn't, why would we mention fainting and fragility? One of our missionaries that was acquainted with your pastor, George Black, we would say George Black died with his boots on at 102 years of age in northern Chile, serving as a missionary. But he said these words that I'll never forget. He said, "It's not easy, it never was easy, it never will be easy, but it's glorious." But it's glorious. It's not easy. But here's the thing, and this is where I want to get this morning in verses 8 and 9. "We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Do you know that every participle in those two verses speaks of continuous action? And so with ongoing trouble, ongoing perplexity, ongoing persecution, and being continually cast down, in the same text, we have these four corresponding but nots. We can continually be pressured and continually perplexed and persecuted and constantly pounded without being continually distressed and despaired and forsaken and destroyed. That was Paul's message. And that was his testimony under far worse circumstances than we face ourselves. And so let's take a few moments and look at these four adversities and their corresponding but nots. First of all, we may be pressured. He uses the words in verse 8, troubled on every side, but beloved, we're not distressed. And Paul does not name a particular pressure, but he speaks of relentless pressure from every angle. And it means to be crushed or squeezed. It's a grievous affliction that brings on a crushing heaviness. It has the idea of being trapped underneath something, something that you can't push off, something that you have difficulty crawling out from under. From every side, they were under the constant weight of crushing pressure. In fact, in chapter 1 and verses 8 through 10, he said, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came unto us in Asia, that we were pressed." That means loaded down. And he says, out of measure, excessively, above strength. In other words, beyond our ability, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. The Apostle Paul's answer to the circumstances that he faced, to the pressure that he endured, was not just to buck up under the load. Beloved, the Christian does not need to buck up under the load. He needs to trust the God who enables him. And the Apostle Paul trusted God to enable him through ongoing, excessive, overpowering adversity. That was the reality that he faced. And I think back to our missionary family in South America. With all the lockdowns really that there have been around the world, do you ever wonder if the missionaries that you're acquainted with have asked themselves, what's the point? Why does God have me here? Will it ever end? Will things ever get back to normal? Some of our missionaries shared their burden for believers that had no access to technology, or others that, because of their age, had no understanding of technology, didn't even have any technology, and therefore they were isolated and unfed because there was no ability to go out and be outside and travel and be with them physically. Some of our people felt crushed by the inability to physically come alongside those that really needed their ministry, and not by Zoom and not by WhatsApp and not by telephone, but their physical presence right there to hug them and to take their hand and to pray with them. There were times when it felt like ministries were falling apart and there was no recourse. There were long hours of inactivity during the lockdowns, literally long hours. There were times when in parts of Chile and in parts of Argentina, our people were not permitted to leave their homes without police permission that they had to acquire online, and then they were allowed perhaps twice a week with maybe 3 hours to be out of their homes. And so there were long hours of inactivity during lockdowns. You read all you can, you study all you can, the house is tidy, the projects are done, and you're left feeling like a caged lion. There were those that during the pandemic saw the miracle of God's provision so they could purchase a building, and then they were told they couldn't use it indefinitely. There were others who had rented a building, and because when the time came that the phases changed so that they could gather, they were told they could not meet in that building because it was too small to meet social distancing regulations, and so they had to let the rented building go. Some felt trapped because the time legally permitted to be outside of their house was insufficient to meet their most basic needs, even medical needs. And some still face criticism. You know, you don't always think of these things happening on the mission field, but some of our national pastors and our missionaries have faced the criticism and the cynicism from within the very body of Christ. They've been burdened by the bickering among believers over masks and mandates and vaccines, things that should not divide the body of Christ. Life events have happened, and many could not be there. There have been funerals at home, and our missionary couldn't travel to bury his mother. Grandchildren have been born, and they couldn't be there. Weddings have happened, and our missionaries couldn't come home to be with their daughter when she was married. These are the realities they faced. COVID has claimed the lives of people that all of us know and love, and in many cases, we never had a chance to say goodbye. Sometimes it's been in our ministry, sometimes in our family, some among friends, both here at home and also on the mission field. This is what's happened. And missionaries have endured all this pressure over long periods of time. It's felt excessive. It's felt unending. It's felt crushing and even overwhelming at times. And it hasn't been limited to the GMSA missionaries in South America. It's gone on in this country. It's gone on all over the world and for different reasons than COVID. It's been hard. But beloved, there's no reason why our testimony should not be the exact same testimony that the Apostle Paul had. Under tremendous pressure, troubled on every side, he says we were not distressed. That means he didn't let himself be pushed into a corner. He didn't let himself be hemmed in. He wouldn't be restrained. Even facing the intense ongoing pressure of fierce opposition, he did not let it become an obstacle to fulfilling his ministry. Ministry didn't stop because he was afflicted. Ministry didn't stop because he was crushed in his spirit. Some of you will recognize the name Richard Wurmbrand from the Voice of the Martyrs. He and his wife were Romanian Jews who were saved in 1938, and he became a Lutheran pastor, and he preached in bomb shelters, and he rescued Jewish children from the ghettos during World War II. He and his wife were repeatedly arrested. They were beaten by the Nazis who occupied Romania, later let loose. And at the end of the war, Romanian communists came into power, and Russian soldiers filled the country. He also preached faithfully to them. In 1945, Pastor Wurmbrand attended a congress organized by the Romanian Communist Party. And after religious leaders came forward and praised communism and swore loyalty to communism, he approached the podium and he spoke to the delegates before the entire nation in the hearing of the entire country. And he exhorted his colleagues that their duty was to glorify God and Christ alone. Both he and his wife, Sabina, were arrested around 1950. They spent several years in prison. They had a 9-year-old son who was left alone and homeless. But dear Christian friends, at great personal risk to their own freedom, took care of him. And Pastor Wurmbrand wrote regarding his imprisonment, listen to what he said. He said it was strictly forbidden to preach to other prisoners. It was understood that whoever was caught doing this received a severe beating. A number of us decided to pay the price for the privilege of preaching. So we accepted their terms. It was a deal. We preached, they beat us. We were happy preaching, they were happy beating us. Everyone was happy. Where there's trouble on every side, there does not have to be debilitating distress. We may be pressured, but beloved, we're not distressed. Secondly, we may be perplexed, but we're not in despair. We may be perplexed, but we're not in despair. When the Apostle Paul felt the rejection of the Corinthians because they were listening to the malicious lies of false apostles, I'm confident that he was perplexed. In fact, I think that's probably what he was talking about. He was at a loss. Being perplexed is when you can't see a clear path through. It's when there doesn't appear to be a way forward. It's when you don't know which way to turn and you just don't know what to do. And I can say that with the volatility of the restrictions and the mandates that many felt on the mission field and even here at home, they wondered how to go forward. How to make and execute ministry plans. How to open the Bible institutes. Whether they would be able to have in-person classes or if they would have to go online. Work all through the winter months to get the camp prepared. Four Bible camps prepared for ministry, not knowing if they'd even be able to open them. Perplexity. How to interpret and apply the mandates and restrictions. How and when to draw lines and take a stand, especially as guests in a host country. Imagine the perplexity of trying to move forward with that residency process that I mentioned before. And by the way, we're talking about three couples. One of those couples with six children, all trying to acquire residency in the country of Argentina and the country of Chile. And the perplexity of it, trying to move forward with that. Lord, help us to get our residency. And the deadlines came and went, and they were enforced, even though COVID made it impossible to fulfill those deadlines. And if that's not perplexing, I don't know what is. Paul was greatly perplexed by what was taking place, but he was not in despair. Despair is actually an intensified way of saying perplexed. It's basically the same word, intensified. And it emphasizes an end impact with no solution. It means there's literally no way out. There's nothing more to be done. Game over. Listen, maybe Paul could not see the solution, but he didn't give up and decide there was no solution. Maybe he didn't see it, but he didn't throw in the towel. And we may not see a way forward, but that doesn't mean that there is no way forward. He confesses that it got real bad. That's what he means when he says we were perplexed. But he didn't entertain the idea of quitting. That's what he means when he says we are not in despair. We can't see the way forward, but we're not going to give up. We're not going to throw in the sponge. We can be perplexed, but we mustn't despair, because Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do you know, beloved, it's not our assignment to build His church. It's His assignment. It's His assignment. Our work's not done until He takes us home or until He raptures His church. And you can rest assured that Jesus is not perplexed and He's not deterred by the pandemic or by anything else that's happening in our world today. Jesus has not put building His church on the back burner until things get back to normal. In 1944, a couple by the name of Earl and Kay Hamilton, GMSA missionaries, colleagues we never knew, long with the Lord, Earl and Kay Hamilton sailed for Chile. They sailed on August 12, 1944, met a little boy named Jerry. They were anchored in Acapulco Harbor in Mexico and decided to go ashore for a few hours to see what the sights were. They knew they had to be back to the boat by lunchtime because it would set sail at 2 p.m. And so they returned to the harbor to reboard, and they stood on shore in disbelief and watched as their ship sank to the bottom, burned and sank to the bottom of the harbor. All their equipment, all of their personal belongings were lost that day. Do you think that was perplexing? It must have been perplexing, but they did not despair. Instead of quitting, they determined to continue on to Chile, and they arrived in Santiago on September 2nd of that year. Within a couple of years, little Jerry suffered multiple bouts of rheumatic fever, and in 1948, they had to return to the United States, and I read that little Jerry's life was hanging by a thread. Would they have been perplexed? I think so, but not in despair. They didn't quit, but they served in Hispanic ministries in Colorado until 1956, when by the grace of God, they got clearance to return to Chile, this time with three children. And then in the next 2 years, every single member of their family fell to the Asian flu. And when they were barely recovered from the Asian flu, both of the boys, Mark and Jerry, fell ill, along with their mother Kate, a hepatitis. And in 1958, they returned to the United States for the last time. Kate was deathly ill, and her recovery was very long. Were they perplexed? I think they probably were, but they were not in despair. They went on to serve the Lord in Hispanic ministries and other ministries, pastoral ministries, here in the States until the Lord took them to glory. So we may be pressured, but we're not distressed. We may be perplexed, but we're not in despair. And thirdly, we may be persecuted, but we're not deserted. One who is persecuted is aggressively sought, aggressively pursued like a hunter pursuing a catch. It means to be hunted down with haste, vehemently sought, pursued to be overtaken. And listen to what I'm going to say. While I'm not aware of any of our missionaries being specifically targeted for persecution in relation to the pandemic, certainly all were affected by government mandates that knowingly or not, or specifically targeting or not the church, affected their ability to carry on the activities most basic to the health and well-being of the church. I had to read that because I wanted to say it correctly. Now listen to this. Whether or not a government has had malicious intent toward the church is really irrelevant. The fact is the enemy has. The enemy has. And he sought to detain ministry. He sought to divide the church. He sought to discourage the saints. He sought to dishearten God's servants during these past 24 months of pandemic. And obviously, you can apply that to many other situations that have gone on and that are actually going on. The enemy would have us feel isolated and abandoned. Paul knew what it was to be persecuted. But listen, he had no idea what it was to be abandoned. He had no idea what it was to be forsaken by the Lord. And beloved, neither do we. No matter how forsaken we may feel, that's all it is, a feeling. We've never been forsaken of the Lord. Paul had the abiding conviction that the same God who permitted persecution in his life had never left his side, never left him in a lurch, never deserted him, never abandoned him. Do you remember the words of Jesus to his disciples in John 15, 20? He said, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you." But do you remember God's promise in Hebrews 12, 5 and 6? "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," so that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Oh, beloved, what a comfort this should be to us who believe. Persecution should not surprise us. Do you know what should surprise us? What should surprise us is entertaining the thought that he might have abandoned us. The promise and the fact of his presence should not only comfort us, but they should embolden us to preach Christ. In Acts chapter 4, when Peter and John were questioned by religious leaders for teaching and preaching the resurrection, those religious leaders, they were impacted by their boldness. But they had no recourse against them because they could not deny the healing of the lame man in the previous chapter who happened to be standing right there with them. And so the religious leaders threatened them, and they commanded them not once but twice not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. And then Peter and John prayed in verse 29, "Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." And they spake the word of God with boldness. They didn't pray for personal safety. They didn't pray for a change in politics. They didn't pray for more freedom. They prayed for boldness. Jesus' words to his disciples at the end of the Great Commission, which we heard just this morning, in Matthew chapter 28, those words, beloved, are for people like us in times like these. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. His presence comforts and gives us boldness. We may be pressured, but we're not distressed. We may be perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not deserted. And then finally, we may be pounded, cast down. Verse 9, but we're not destroyed. We're not destroyed. To be cast down means to be thrown down. It means to be laid prostrate, to be pounded. It's often used symbolically when speaking of being dejected or despondent or discouraged or disheartened. I can't imagine how Paul felt when it seemed that the church in Corinth had turned on him. I can't imagine how he suffered at the thought of such a thing. Do you know, beloved, in ministry there's pain. Any of you that have been involved in any kind of ministry in your local church, you know that in ministry there's pain and there's hurt. And there's been some during the pandemic because of carnal infighting over masks and vaccines and mandates. It's sad. It's a reality. When you faithfully serve the Lord, sooner or later you're going to suffer a good pounding. Ministry doesn't unfold in the realm of ease or in the realm of ideal circumstances. And that's because we're engaged in a real spiritual battle, and we have a real spiritual enemy who's waging a real spiritual war. And that's why Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:4 to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season. We don't do ministry because it's the right season. And that's why Peter wrote to those facing intense persecution, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. Do you know what the pandemic has been? It's been a satanic pounding against the church of Christ. There's been discouragement. There have been disappointments. And I bet some of you have felt that at one time or another. I bet some of you have felt cast down at one time or another, like our missionaries have. Paul did when he thought that he was being rejected by the Corinthians, but he didn't let it destroy him. Do you know what? Whatever you or your ministry has suffered related to COVID does not have to destroy you or your ministry either. To be destroyed is to be completely, even violently, eliminated. It means to utterly perish by a miserable end. It means to be gotten rid of. It implies permanent, absolute destruction. Do you know what it means? It means to be canceled. We all understand that today. It means to be canceled. Guess what? The pandemic has not canceled the work of Christ or His church. We are the only ones who can cancel His working through our lives. We're the only ones capable of causing that. And we're here today by the grace of God as a living testimony that despite the pounding, we have not been cut off or abolished or gotten rid of. The church is still here. The believer in Christ is still here. People are still getting saved. People are still being called into ministry, prepared for ministry. Missionaries are still going out. Christ is still building His church. The adversity we endure is our delivery unto death for Jesus' sake. That's verse 10. And these four but nots, not distressed, not despaired, not deserted, not destroyed, beloved, these are the manifestations of the life of Christ in our mortal flesh. They're the evidence that He's alive and well, and that He's continuing His work in us and through us and building His church. That's why Paul concludes like he started. In verse 16, he says, we faint not. He said the same thing in verse 1. We faint not. We're not losing heart. We're not giving in to cowardice. We're not becoming desperate. Whatever adversity is imposed on our outer man, our inward man is being renewed day by day. That was Paul's testimony in verse 16. What's yours? He considered the adversity he suffered to be a light affliction, which is but for a moment. Verse 17. Do you realize that the pandemic hit almost 1 year ago today? I don't even know what day is today. This is the 8th or 9th? I don't have my cell phone. I think 6th. So next Sunday, it'll be 1 year ago that we were in a church in Ohio, and our whole spring itinerary fell apart within 24 hours because of the pandemic. That was 2 years ago. I might have said 1 year ago. It was 2 years ago. I thought the pandemic would pass. They said 2 weeks. Flatten the curve. It's been 2 years. I don't know if we'll ever see the normal of 2 years ago. I didn't know that it was normal. But do you know what? That can't change our ministry for Christ. It has nothing to do with it. We can't wait for this whole thing to blow over. Can't do that. We can't wait for things to be ideal again. Do you know that Jesus isn't waiting for things to get back to the way they were so he can build his church? When Paul was thrown in prison, Jesus didn't stop building his church. In fact, in Philippians 1:12, he said, "The things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Can we catch that? Can we internalize that and understand it and see what God is doing? Jesus is not building his church despite the pandemic. He's building his church in the pandemic. Jesus won't build his church in Europe despite the war that's going on. He's going to build his church in the war that's going on. And you can apply that principle to every world adversity. You talked about Myanmar today. Many things have gone on in that part of the world in recent months. What about the Uyghurs in China? And many other things that are going on around the world. Beloved, Jesus is not waiting for things to get back to normal to build his church in those places. He's building his church in the midst of what's happening. We can be pressured, perplexed, persecuted, impounded. But we don't need to be distressed, despaired, deserted, or destroyed. That's our testimony. That's the God we serve. We have the great privilege of being treasure bearers of the most important message that ever existed in the history of mankind, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we will not be canceled. We will carry on faithfully by the grace of God, enabled by Him who is our sufficiency. Let us pray together. Father, we are grateful for words of encouragement from this portion of Scripture. And Lord, we don't gather to lament. We gather to rejoice. And we rejoice that Jesus is building His church in the fulfillment of His promise. And He's doing it, and not just in Argentina, Chile, and Uruguay, but all over the world. And we thank You that ministry has unfolded and people have been saved. We thank You, dear Lord, that people are being discipled and mentored for ministry, trained to be pastors, trained to serve in their local church. And this is happening all over the world, not just in our countries, the countries we serve in, and not just here in the United States. Father, help us to catch a vision of Jesus building His church. Lord, help us to learn to shut off the TV and limit the entrance of news into our minds. And help us, Lord, to embrace Your Word and feed ourselves from Scripture and to be encouraged and to be facilitators of Christ. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
tremendous message this morning, a message of encouragement to our hearts. I'd like for you to turn in your hymn book, please, to number 485. 485. We're going to stand together as we sing the last stanza. In the midst of the wounding and the weariness of life, we need to have the Lord to have His own way. Let's stand together as we sing that third stanza and consider the message that we've heard during this time, to not be discouraged and distressed, perplexed, pounded. Help us to turn to the Lord, who is our great Redeemer and our rock, our high tower. Sing on that last stanza, 485. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the message of the hour. We thank you, dear Father, for the word that has been given to us to encourage us to realize that we do not have to be a victim. We can be the victor, not in our own power, in our own strength, in our own willpower, but rather by the supply of you, our Lord and Savior. We pray, dear Father, that you would work in our hearts. We've learned so many things over these last 2 years, but also we've learned the revelation of our character and also the revelation of your power. Help us to rest in thee today. For those that may be here today without the Savior, Lord, may they call upon thee before it's too late. Maybe they don't understand and know what we're talking about when we talk about the fact that we have the power of the Lord in our lives. I pray that you draw precious souls unto yourself. Pray now your blessing as we go our ways. Help us to be faithful in our witnessing and testimony to those that are lost around us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.